On today's episode, we're talking job cuts in the crypto industry, the vanishing Libra investment token, and what Paul Volcker might have thought about a digital dollar. It's Thursday, December 12th, and you're listening to Markets Daily. I'm Anna B. Levine, podcast editor here at CoinDesk, along with our senior markets reporter, Brad Cowan, to give you a concise daily briefing on crypto markets and some of the most important news developments in the sector over the past 24 hours. Bitcoin is down slightly this morning, about 0.6% over the past 24 hours to $7,195. Ether is down 0.9% to $144, and XRP from Ripple is off 0.6% to 22.1 cents. In traditional markets, after a Federal Reserve meeting on Wednesday that contained few surprises, S&P 500 futures and the 10-year U.S. Treasury yield are little changed. Gold is up 0.9% to $1,488 an ounce. And there's not much action in global currency markets today either, with the dollar looking pretty stable against the euro, yen, and British pound. Brad, tell us what we're seeing in the Bitcoin market.
Bitcoin down just a touch this morning, hitting a two-week low near 7,070. Traders are wondering where it will head from here. CoinDesk's Omkar Godbole writes that the price charts are currently looking bearish, and if Bitcoin stays on trend, it might fall as far as $6,500. Analysts agree that the breaking point for a bull run would be $7,800. So the price has a ways to go. In related news, this sluggish market appears to be leading some crypto companies to cut back for the holidays. CoinDesk's Ian Allison reports that Consensus, an Ethereum blockchain development company, has eliminated 11 positions as it shut down key operations in India and the Philippines. And Circle, one of the earliest crypto adopters in the fintech space, has laid off about 10 employees, barely a week after the firm's co-CEO, Sean Neville, announced he would step down from his role at the end of 2019. On the regulatory front, the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission has charged Shopin, a developer of blockchain-based tools for retail sales, with defrauding investors after a $42 million initial coin offering. The company's founder also is accused of failing to develop the platform as promised, while also misappropriating at least $500,000 for his personal use, including spending ICO cash on a dating service. Meanwhile, CoinDesk's Dan Palmer reports that the liquidator for the collapsed New Zealand-based crypto exchange Cryptopia has retrieved $7.2 million since hackers stole $16 million from the platform in January. Cryptopia went into liquidation in May after the financial losses, but the assigned liquidator, the accounting firm Grant Thornton, said Wednesday in a report that it's proving extremely difficult to ascertain what assets customers held on Cryptopia, partly since crypto assets were pooled into general wallets instead of individual customer wallets. In a more positive sign for the crypto industry, Reuters reports that the big Dutch bank ING is working on technology to help clients safely store digital assets. ING said it, quote, sees increasing opportunities with regard to digital assets on both asset-backed and native security tokens, end of quote. Back to you, Adam.
And for today's featured story, we're taking a look at recent changes to the Libra white paper. Libra is, of course, the high-profile, dollar-pegged so-called stablecoin project first proposed earlier this year with the support of Facebook, PayPal, MasterCard, and other major players. Stablecoins are designed to have their value match something like the U.S. dollar, a crucial distinction when compared to more volatile cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin. Writing for fintechpolicy.org, Georgetown University law professor Chris Brummer notes, quote, "The key change, of course, is that interest earned from reserve assets will not be used to pay dividends to investors. This is a considerable departure from the plans first spelled out in June. Indeed, on the Libra website, I don't see any obvious mention of dividends at all, or for that matter, any mention of Libra investment tokens to be offered to early investors," end quote. Although not widely known, the Libra project, as originally proposed in June, was built around the idea of not one but two coins, a proposed dollar-pegged stablecoin that was simply called Libra, and a, quote, Libra investment token, which was available only to select parties and at minimum purchase amounts of $10 million. Those millions would be used to power the network through its early days, but if the network were successful, would represent one of the best investment returns we'd ever seen. In July, I enlisted blockchain CPA Kirk Phillips to help me figure out exactly how good those returns could be under various adoption scenarios. In an article linked in today's show notes entitled Billion Dollar Returns, The Upside of Facebook's Libra Cryptocurrency, we laid out the case, which, without getting into it, could have seen a literal tens of billions of dollars per year in returns for individual investors. Well, since July, things have changed. After a series of frosty interactions with global, but especially US representatives and regulators, this rewrite appears to throw out the entire concept of a second token and apparently the profit potential that was baked into it. Now, all of this is still hypothetical, as the Libra token is not launched. Since the original announcement, the basket of companies supporting the project has changed, as payment processors PayPal, MasterCard, and others seem to rethink their support, at least publicly. In the big picture, Libra is a project which, if it ever sees the light of day, will be a game changer, regardless of its implementation. Facebook and some of its partners are the largest companies in the world, with staggering reach and enormous audiences globally. The removal of the Libra investment token concept is both good and bad for differing and perhaps conflicting reasons. On the one hand, by simplifying the concept to just the non-speculative, dollar-pegged stablecoin, the project seems much more likely to see the light of day. It's just a simpler project without any obvious profit motive or people who stand to substantially gain from its success. But on the other hand, does anyone doubt that companies launching a successful Libra won't see it as an opportunity to profit? We used to know how that would happen, but now we'll just have to wait and see. Hey folks, Adam B. Levine here to remind you about Consensus, the anchor event at each year's Blockchain Week NYC, hosted by CoinDesk. This year, it's all happening May 11th through 13th, 2020, and you're not going to want to miss what's planned. In previous years, speakers have included Democratic presidential candidate Andrew Yang, Coinbase CEO and co-founder Brian Armstrong, and BitMEX CEO Arthur Hayes. But prices go up this Friday, December 13th at midnight Eastern Time. Save $500 on your pass and register now. Visit consensus2020.com and hit get tickets for more information. We'll see you in May. And now for our market spotlight, we're looking at the concept of a digital dollar and whether the late Federal Reserve Chair Paul Volcker might have embraced it or not. Brad has the details for you and what it all means for crypto traders.
That's right, Adam. Today we're focusing on central bank digital currencies, which have become a very hot topic both in the crypto space as well as among authorities as they try to grapple with how the global monetary system might evolve in the near future, especially given the rapid development of cryptocurrency and blockchain technology. Now, these digital assets, unlike private sector efforts like Bitcoin and Ethereum, would be under the control of central authorities, which, as we discussed today, can have both pros and cons. Authorities from Ghana to Sweden are examining the concept, while China, the world's second largest economy, is moving forward with tests of a digital version of its national currency. But in the U.S., authorities appear to be somewhat dim on the concept. U.S. Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin said last week that he and the current Federal Reserve Chair, Jerome Powell, agree that there's no need for a digital version of the dollar in the next 5 years. So in a sort of thought experiment, CoinDesk decided to key off the news this week that former Fed Chair Paul Volcker had died at age 92. Volcker never really said much about cryptocurrencies during his long lifetime. In fact, he once told a quartz reporter that he was too old to know anything about Bitcoin. But Volcker is regarded as perhaps the most effective and credible Fed chief of the past half century based on his successful push to combat double-digit inflation in the late 1970s and 80s. So it's worth asking aloud what his stance might have been. The promise of these government-backed digital currencies is that they might reduce the need for paper bills and coins, making it easier for consumers and businesses alike to exchange payments. And those are benefits that Volcker likely would have embraced, says Richard Silla, a New York University economics professor emeritus who specializes in financial history. After the financial crisis of 2008, Volcker famously said he thought the ATM machine was the most important banking industry innovation of the prior 20 years because it actually improved people's lives by making it easier for them to get cash. His point was to distinguish such advances in payments technology from the financial engineering wizardry of Wall Street concoctions like collateralized debt obligations, a type of bonds packaged out of subprime mortgages that became popular in the 2000s, That is, until they nearly bankrupted the global financial system when the housing market deteriorated. Dick Beauvais, a five-decade financial industry analyst for brokerage firm Odeon Capital, says Volcker likely would have opposed Bitcoin and other digital assets built by independent developers, since he believed that central banks should have strong control over the monetary system to help society achieve goals like stable prices. A digital dollar, on the other hand, is something Volcker likely would have gone for, Beauvais says, since he probably would have wanted the Fed to keep up with the new technology. Of course, some critics of these central bank digital currencies say they just might provide a new way for governments to spy on their own citizens. Jimmy Song, with crypto-focused venture capital firm Blockchain Capital, says he thinks a digital dollar isn't terribly different from the monetary system that Volcker oversaw. Basically, it's just a technological upgrade. Song says a digital dollar wouldn't do anything to change the underlying problem in the economy, that central banks exercise too much control. Volcker, based on his career, might not have seen that as a problem. Back to you, Adam.
Join us again on Friday for the next Daily Markets from CoinDesk. And we'd love to hear what you think. Especially, we'd love to hear the things you don't like about the show. So, if you have any thoughts or comments, send an email to podcasts@coindesk.com. We'll see you next time.